In this evening. This morning, as we made our study in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, we talked about what one might identify as the pigpen trail. And as we studied the pigpen trail, we talked about the young man that went off into the far country and lived his life in the filth of sin. And you'll remember that he came to his senses and came home, recognizing that his father's home was where he needed to be the whole time. But tonight, for just a few moments, I kind of want to think about another line of thought from the book of Luke in the 15th chapter and raise a question. And I think it's an important question. And that is the question, why do so few prodigals return to the local church? Why is it you'll find many young people grow up knowing the truth? They've studied and they've listened, and yet they come to a point of age where they're accountable. They go out, live their own life, and they do not return to the local church. And what I want us to do is look at that parable that Jesus taught in Luke 15, look at some questions, and make application, and the lesson is yours. In your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 15th chapter, I'm so thankful that when I study that passage, I find the young man coming home. I find the young man comes home, and he says to his father in verse 18, that I will arise, I will go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. Then in verse 20, he arose and he came to his father. And there's that picture when he's still a great way off that the father sees him. And look at that next line, has compassion. I want you to underscore that line, has compassion. I believe tonight one of the reasons that many prodigals never return is because, first of all, people aren't looking for them. And people do not have compassion for them. We look at and we see an individual who's left the faith, and we kind of act self-righteous at times, and we say, well, they're getting exactly what they deserve by living in sin, and we show little compassion. Do you recognize of the ones that were there when that young man left, who should have went to get him? Not the father, but the older brother. And yet the older brother seems glad that the younger son was gone. And yet when this younger son came home, look at the response. The father saw, the father had compassion, and look at this next line, the father ran. Now that is something that we may not appreciate. But in that day, individuals that had dignity wouldn't run. You'd have to kind of lift your robe to run. And it wasn't dignified, and Jewish men did not run. But this man wasn't concerned about the dignity of himself in front of others. He saw his son, and his love for his son was so great, he had great compassion that he ran. Then look at that next line. He fell on his neck. That means he embraced him. That means that he grabbed him, hugged him. And look at that next line, and kissed him. And in the original, that means he kissed him over and over again. He could not wait to be with his son and be reunited. So that raises a question tonight. Why is it that tonight there are so few prodigals that ever return? The first thing I want to bring to our mind is, sometimes few prodigals return is because we've not identified them as prodigals. And when I talk about prodigal, I'm not just talking about wasteful living. I'm talking about those that aren't living right. And I realize that there are some who haven't left the church building. They haven't left coming together with people. And yet, my friend, they're living the very opposite of the teaching that they're hearing week in and week out. Sometimes individuals may still be at home. They may still come and worship. They still may go to Bible class. And yet, my friend, they're not living right for God, and they need to return to God. There are a lot of people who are going out and they've left their faith a long time ago and they're living in the pig pen of the world, but they want everyone else to think that they're okay. I see that all the time. I hear that all the time. I shall never forget one time where I was in its place. An individual came to me and says, "Does so-and-so attend where you preach?" Oh, yeah, they're a member there. Well, you ought to hear the way they talk and act when they're at work. You call him a Christian and you have fellowship with him? And I've often thought about there are a lot of people who hide their faith so well that when they come in here, they act completely different than they do the rest of the week. And so I need to recognize some leave the faith. I need to recognize some leave and we don't even recognize it. But then I want us to recognize a second thing. It's possible to leave. This idea that once saved, always saved that is taught is a false doctrine. I need to recognize that some religious groups teach that once you're saved, you can't leave. That's a false doctrine to begin with. Open your Bible to the book of Galatians in the 6th chapter. And Paul will put that to rest in just 2 verses. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." It is possible for one to leave the faith. It is possible for one to go back into the world. And so the first thing I recognize tonight is it's possible for one to leave. The second thing I need to recognize is the reason so few return is because of the things they have to face. Not all are in the far country, as we mentioned a minute ago. Some are just indifferent to their life as a Christian. Can I tell you what the greatest problem in local churches is tonight? The greatest problem with young men and young ladies as well as adults isn't liberalism. It isn't the problem of United States government. We are free to worship. I'll tell you what the greatest problem is tonight. Indifference. Look at how we can look around tonight in Shelby, Tennessee and see how many people are indifferent to their relationship with God. And we could look around Shelbyville tonight and see how many people are indifferent to sin. They're so wrapped up in the world. And in worship, they're not finding what they think that they're looking for because they're not looking for the right things. They're not looking for God. And if your perception of God is wrong, your perception of sin will be wrong. So here you'll find that here are people who are not all the way over in the pig pen yet, but they've left the Lord a long time ago. They don't praise Him. They don't love Him. They don't care about His will. They're just living their life their way. I see a lot of young people. And it scares me when I think about in our day and time how many people are indifferent to what God's Word says. I forget about an individual that when they came to me with a problem and I tried to show them what God's answer is, you know what their answer is? "Well, my God, He can handle that." You know what they're wanting to do? Ignore what God says and do what they want to do and have God condone it. And that's not how life works. We have to follow the pattern God has given us. So I realize tonight, so few return, and it's difficult to get many to return because of the fact that they are close to religion, but they're indifferent to it. How many people do you think there are who believe in God? They believe in Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. They'll tell you they believe the Bible. But when it comes to worship and when it comes to investing in their life, in doing the things they ought to do, they're far from Him. Jesus said there are a lot of people who speak with their mouth that they're near, but their heart is far from Him. That's the dangerous place to be. But I bring up another thought in our study. I believe that so few return because they're reluctant to face up to their wrongs. You know, it's hard to admit you're wrong. It's hard to admit that I need to repent of something. One of the hardest things sometimes to do is to have the courage to walk out of an aisle and come down and tell this congregation, I need prayers because I've left Christ, I'm not living right, and I want to be restored to it. That takes backbone. And it's a lot easier to just sit there and not admit your need. And sometimes it is difficult to face up to your wrong. Sometimes it is easier to try to ignore your wrongs, deny your wrongs, blame your wrongs on someone else than it is to face up to them. So I believe tonight few prodigals return because they do not see how far they are from God and they're reluctant to face up to what they've done. But I think there's a third reason. I think there's a third reason some prodigals return and some do not. And that is because some just love sin. Let's just call a spade a spade. There are some people that just don't love God at all and they have made a choice. And you know what? There's not much difference from the person who is indifferent than the person who's already made a choice. Because they're both already outside the safety of God. There is little difference between the individual that comes every Sunday and he's not already all the way down in the mire of the pig pen, but he doesn't care about God. He's so wrapped up in the world he doesn't worship. His heart's far from God. His heart is everywhere but here. His heart's everywhere but with the Lord. There's little difference between that individual and the individual who's out here who says, I hate God. I've had people say such things and heard such things about how they don't want anything to do with God. And so some want to waste their life in sin. They say this is their time. I heard a man one time make a statement. And the statement he made was this. Will I have to answer for the way I live? He said, maybe. Maybe someday I'll have to answer if there is a God. He said, but right now I'm on my time. And I'm going to do what I want to do, and he used some profanity, on my time. Not realizing that God is the giver of time. Not realizing God is the one that gave him this life. And yet there are some people that they waste their life in sin and there's not going to be much you can do. I used to think if you could just say it the right way, they'll change their life. If you could just get them to Caesar. But there are some people, they've made up their mind. Now the gospel's powerful enough to change them. But they have made up their mind. They have no part of God. But I believe there's another reason so few prodigals. And this is where we might want to get our toes ready. Sometimes it's because they fail to see mercy. When they want to make their life right. Sometimes we can sit back and we can act self-righteous. You did that, the older brother. And may I say tonight, with all the love of God in my heart, from the preacher to an elder to a deacon to whoever is in this audience, not a one of us has the right to act self-righteous. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Isaiah for just a moment. And when you look at what Isaiah has to say, notice that God condemns self-righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 65, look at verse 5 about the individual. In Isaiah 65 and verse 5, he says to the individual, who says, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostril, a fire that burns all the day. Can I say, none of us are better than anyone else. We all have the sin problem. We all have transgressed God's law. We all have gone down the pig pen trail to a degree or another. And it doesn't matter if you got all the way in the mire or not. You need the same thing I need, God's mercy. And you know what else we need? The mercy of our brethren. When someone wants to make their life right, we ought not sit back with arms folded saying, well, what are they going to confess this time? Of all the things I believe in Luke 15 Jesus taught that should hit home is if the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents, we should rejoice. It doesn't matter what they've done. They're wanting to be restored to the King and to come home and to be right with God. And I'll tell you that I know some young men and young ladies, they're afraid to come and make a confession because they're afraid of what people are going to think about them. I'll tell you, don't worry about what everyone else thinks. There's been times I've been so concerned about pleasing people that I've not pleased the right one. I need to be a pleaser of the Lord. And whatever the sin is, I need to make sure that I get it right with God because I see God is merciful even if others aren't. That includes some of us preachers. Oh, I love my preaching brethren. I have colleagues that preach the truth. I enjoy talking with a lot of my preaching brethren. But there's some preachers that I know that when they preach, you just feel like they've skinned your hide and they don't have any love. I'll tell you, my friend, I'm not after your hide tonight. I want your heart. I'm aiming for the heart of the prodigal who hasn't returned. And what I'd like to see tonight is some young men and young ladies that haven't been living right, who've been indifferent, to see that there are people here who care about you and they're concerned about your soul. You may not be concerned about your soul right now, but we're concerned about it. We're concerned that if you died, that you would be lost for eternity. That's not trying to scare you to do the right thing. That shows you we love you. Love motivates people to do the right thing and to tell the truth. Truth has nothing to hide. Truth isn't afraid to be revealed. And truth tells individuals what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And we've got people here at Eastside that I have been praying about, I've been thinking about, I can't get my mind off of, because I believe that the condition they're in will lead them further astray. That they are in an undone, lost condition. But God is merciful. Have you ever stopped to thank that God of heaven, that He's merciful? When you read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 12, that list of all those sins, whether it be adultery, idolatry, fornication, whether it be gossip, whatever the sin might be, that God was willing to blot it out when they were willing to confess their sin and they were willing to make their life right with God. He said, such were some of you, but you were sanctified, you were justified. By what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Now I realize this much tonight. I'm limited in my ability to get people to do the right thing. There are some of you that if I thought it would do any good, I'd grab a couple men and I'd say, let's go and we'd baptize you tonight whether you want it or not. But that wouldn't do a lick of good if it's not by faith. And there's some of you that if I get a couple of men to grab you and I'd pull you down here and say, why aren't you living right? But it wouldn't do any good if you don't do it by faith. And so I raise a question. The question isn't, why do so few prodigals return? The question is, why haven't you come? What keeps some of you from being baptized? What keeps some of you from returning and being on fire for the Lord and being zealous for God and having purpose in your life? What keeps you? What is there in this world that has deceived you to the point that you think you don't need God? Can you convince me? You don't have to do it right now. After services, if you don't want to be baptized tonight and you don't want to be restored tonight, I beg of you, convince me. What is so important in this world that makes you believe you don't need God? What I would love to see at Eastside is a group of people who see their need for God, have their love for God, have a love for one another. Not be self-righteous, but be people that we can talk to help to get to heaven. Because if we're not that kind of people, then perhaps the best thing we can do is close these doors and close this church down. Because we're not pleasing God. Are we a prodigal church? Or are we a group of people who love God, love one another, and are striving to bring others to Christ and encouraging people to go to heaven? Heaven. What did we say this morning? The only place you can call home. If you're here and you need to be obedient to the gospel, we pray you come together.